Speaker of the Indonesian House of Representatives, Puan Maharani, highlighted the DPR's support for cooperation between the government of Indonesia and China. Maharani elaborated that one way the DPR support this cooperation is by creating regulations that encourages investment from China in Indonesia. According to the speaker, the DPR support is motivated by the fact that China is the third largest investor in Indonesia. The Ministry of Environment reminded companies managing land on a large scale of their responsibility to help prevent land fires. Speaking at the consolidation of preparedness of personnel and equipment for land fire control in Palembang, South Sumatra on Saturday, the minister emphasized the importance of joint action in dealing with the risk of land fires that continue to threaten vulnerable areas in Indonesia, especially ahead of the dry season. He highlighted the nationally, during the period from January 1st to May 22nd, 2025, some 179 land fires incidents occurred in several provinces, including Aceh, North Sumatra, Riau Island, Jambi, South Sumatra, West Kalimantan, South Kalimantan, Central Kalimantan, and East Kalimantan. And that was the news.
Indonesia is the most beautiful land in the universe. The land where we were born. The nation where we grew up. So many colors that live together in peace. With a million timeless treasures. With an abundance of natural wealth. Indonesia is not just wonderful. Indonesia is a wonderland. Kota baru, gunungnya bermega. Bermega, bagaimana pur di Samangkara. Bagaimana pur di Samangkara. Batamu lawanlah Adinda. Adinda iman di dadara. Sama layak iman di dadara. Sama layak.
Suri yang suriang. Voice of Indonesia.
Listener going to culinary tour to Banyuwangi, East Java, you should come to Wit-Witan Market, the traditional market which becomes one of favorite places in Banyuwangi. Is located at Alas Malang Village, Singojuru Sub District, Banyuwangi. The market opens every Sunday morning, starting from 6 until 10 a.m. local time. Under the shady tree, you can enjoy various traditional culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as Geseng Bangsong. Geseng Bangsong is a typical food of Wijenan Kidul Hamlet, Singolatren Village, Singojuru Sub District. Geseng Bangsong is a special menu and rarely found, which is made from duck meat as its main ingredient and wadung yang leaf that adds a unique sour taste. Wadung tree is many found and growing wild at the village. Besides giving sour taste, wadung leaf is also used to remove fishy smell from duck meat. The duck must be the big one, so it is usually used male duck for cooking geseng bangso. Besides wudong yang leaf, this culinary is also cooked with other spices such as cayenne, onion, and garlic. Geseng Bangsong has savory and spicy taste. Spicy taste mixed with sour taste certainly produce delicious food. In Banyuwangi, the food is usually served when Islamic events being conducted, such as the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid Adha. But now, Geseng Bangsong can be found at Wit-Witan Market every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiah to 25,000 rupiah per portion. In addition to taste Geseng Bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as rawon alas, sego cawu, as well as traditional snack, such as tiwul and gatot, which is made from cassava. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Purisa Fredela. Thank you for listening.
Listener, we are about to play a song by Nugi. Agustinus Gusti Nugroho, or Nugi, is an Indonesian actor and singer. He released a trilogy entitled Bumi or Earth in 1995, Air or Water in 1996, and Udara or Air in 1998. One of his best hits was Pelukis Malam, or The Night Painter. The song Pelukis Malam is about a human amazement over the nature created by the creator. The song also reminds us the humans are so little compared to planet Earth and the heavenly sky that is full of shining moons and stars. Listener, here is Nugi with Pelukis Malam. Enjoy listening to the song.
Kejora susu sangat
Seumur hidupku dan ku berjanji. Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Kasalami is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasalami is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasalami. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or cloth to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in teak or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called KGP. To make kasalami, initially KGP is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This tool is made from woven coconut leaves. To steam the KGP, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with KGP flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kasalami is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kasalamis. Kasalami is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Kasalami is the initial food in Buton's traditional events. Interestingly, kasalami is also often used as stocks for trips or souvenirs between fellow Buton residents. Kasalami can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight.
For listener, right now you are listening to Fasilia with a reason, just like a reason for you to always tune into our online streaming. Where, of course, in our online streaming, voinews.id. Shortwave in 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Also, our application in RRE Digital for those of you love watching on demand.
Listener, as Gempol Pleret is one of the legendary Solo culinary delights because there are not many traders selling this culinary anymore. But you don't have to worry if you are already in Solo and want to taste this traditional culinary. Although it is a popular culinary delicacy in Solo, in certain places there are still traders selling this as Gempol Pleret, such as in the Gede Market, Lawayan Market, and in the Manahan Field. Call as Gempol Pleret is beverage because of its refreshing presentation, but there are also those who call it food because it is filling when enjoyed. The basic ingredients of this typical beverage are rice flour and glutinous rice flour. To make as Gempol Pleret, we have to soak rice flour first. Then it is shaped into small balls like meatballs and then steamed. Therefore, some people call gempol as rice meatball because it is round, made of rice, and it's white color. According to the story, gempol comes from the word jempol because it uses the fingers. Baret is also made from rice flour, which is made into dough and then formed into thin sheets resembling wonton. Afterwards, it is also steamed until cooked. Finally, for presentation, in a medium-sized bowl, the gempol pleret is aided with coconut milk, which is made from thin coconut milk and sugar. You can add shaved ice or ice cubes that are broken into small pieces. As a variation, you can also add pieces of jackfruit or green sticky rice tapeh. For one bowl of es gempol pleret, you only need to pay 5,000 rupiahs. It is quite affordable, isn't it?
Besok sisa sengsara, belum pulang kau pun di sini. Temani diriku, kita bersandiwara, bicara tak semestinya. Walau kita tahu nyatanya semua tak baik saja. Ada masanya kita mencuri ruang dan waktu, walau pasti sana. Selagi masih bisa bersama, bersama. Semuanya sementara, kita di ujung cerita. Untuk 5 menit coba kau mengambil alih dunia. Ada masanya kita sana. Selagi sana.
Kita
selama-lamanya.
Selama-lamanya.
Selagi masih bisa bersama. Bersama.
Listener, if you visit Ambon, it's incomplete without tasting ikan asar galala, the most iconic culinary in Ambon, Maluku. It is called ikan asar galala because it has been known since ancient times that Galala village is a fish hunter. The basic ingredients of ikan asar are generally cakalang fish, yellowtail fish, or mackerel tuna fish, as long as the fish's texture is dense so that it is not brittle when smoked. Ikan asar is a smoked fish. This is smoked differently and uniquely. In general, the fish is smoked horizontally, but ikan asar is placed diagonally on the side of the embers that produce smoke to make the fish completely dry and fully cooked. The cooking process is quite simple. After cleaning the entrails, the fish is skewered with bamboo and ready to be smoked on the stove. The smoking takes about 4 until 5 hours and is done in a closed room so that the smoke soaks into the meat until it is completely cooked. Listener, ikan asar has an extraordinary taste because the smoked fish is savory and the aroma is so appetizing. Ikan asar is very appropriate to be enjoyed with warm rice and sambal colo-colo, a typical Maluku sauce made from shallots, chilies, basil, and key lime.
Andai matamu melihat aku.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
The Land Above the Clouds is the nickname of Dieng Valley in Central Java. This valley has a main tradition held annually that features cutting off dreadlocks on children as part of Dieng Culture Festival. They are not ordinary children. They had the dreadlocks after they mysteriously had high fever and their illness was not detected medically. The next day, the dreadlocks appears on their head, and it can only be cut with a long sequence of ritual, where the whole villagers has their own parts.
Ya, kalau yang minta kan gembelnya ya. Gembelnya kalau orang tua kan kaya itu yang minta apa kentut satu kantong plastik sama telur puyuh satu itu orangnya kaya. Kan disuruh teman-teman minta mobil, minta enggak. Harusnya minta kentut untuk mainan gini kok. Buat mainan katanya. Nah, saya sampai kesono dua kali saya tanyain. Nggak belok-belok itu. Minta kentut sama ibunya. Buat mainan gini ya udah. Yang minta gembelnya bukan anaknya. Bukan gembelnya yang minta. Kalau gembel itu nggak bisa dilubah. Kan.
Our journey to Dieng village in Banjarnegara Regency, Central Java, was an unforgettable experience. It took 12 hours from Jakarta until we reached in Dieng. With a scenic winding road with a green potatoes plantation and people residents along, made it worth it. Cold wind welcomed our arrival upon Dieng village. We visited this village to witness a unique annual event. It was the ritual of cutting the dreadlocks of Dieng children, who are called Anak Bajang. But why does cutting dreadlock need a long ritual and involve the whole village?
Karena kalau anak gembel itu kan titipan dari Dewi Roro Runci dari Samudro.
We believe the dreadlock was a gift from goddess Roro Runci from Kidul Sea. She gave it to Kiai Agung Kaladete as his apprentice. After the dreadlock is cut, it will be put in a jar. The jar then will be put on river that flows to Kidul Sea. It is like we return the dreadlock to the goddess.
Cilarung, air yang mengalir ke Samudra Kidul dikembalikan yang menitipi supaya tidak gembel lagi.
For many years, Basumanto had carried out the dreadlock cutting ritual. The Anak Bajang are believed to be special children of Dieng, who bridge our reality and the unseen realm.
Karena filosofinya adalah anak gimbal merupakan titipan yang maha kuasa, di mana orang Dieng mempercayai bahwa yang maha kuasa selalu menitipkan apapun yang dia kehendaki itu pada era saat ini melalui peran.
The philosophy of dreadlock children is that they are gift from God. The young people believes that God always entrusts anything he will through a medium. This medium bridges the seen and the unseen. So, the ritual is simply about respecting the unseen without worshipping them. We also believe our ancestor, Tumenggung Kolodete, also did the ritual. He cut his child's dreadlock and then let the dreadlock flow into the Southern Sea. It is because the past believed that the hair also belongs to the god. The Javanese must have goodwill and ethics. If something was entrusted to us through the medium, we should return it through the medium too. It is to avoid miscommunication and to appreciate the medium too.
Harus punya tata krama ketika mempercayai bahwa kita dipinjami barang melalui perantara, maka alangkah baiknya pengembaliannya juga melalui perantara sehingga tidak miskomunikasi, ataupun akan lebih baik bahwa yang menjadi perantara juga kita hargai. Itu seperti itu.
Ali Fauzi, born in Dieng, upholds the cultural value in this ritual. He managed to preserve his ancestors' heritage in a more modern way, without removing the traditional element of the ritual itself. He initiated the Dieng Culture Festival, an event that could bring many tourists while keep allowing the long ritual process.
Ya, inilah budaya kita yang penuh dengan filosofi yang bagus sekali, di mana kegiatan ritual pencukuran rambut gimbal ini memang panjang sebetulnya. Hanya memang saat ini kita atraksikan puncaknya, tapi perlu saya jelaskan apa sih yang panjang itu. Tentunya dimulai dengan acara napak tilas. Napak tilas ada di beberapa tempat, bahkan hampir lebih dari 20 tempat. Ini adalah konsep dari pelestarian lingkungan sebetulnya, di mana para pemangku adat, pemangku budaya, tokoh masyarakat yang terlibat dalam napak tilas ini adalah berkunjung beberapa tempat yang dianggap sakral atau dianggap harus dihargai, karena dampak dari hidupnya lingkungan di satu tempat itu akan membeli siklus kehidupan yang ada di bumi ini. Katakanlah ke satu mata air yang dianggap sakral, karena mata air itu tentu harus kita survei, harus kita lihat, harus kita hargai pohon-pohon di sekitarnya. Karena pohon yang bagus, mata air yang bagus tentu akan memberikan efek kehidupan yang baik untuk manusia sendiri. Jadi ini napak tilas selama beberapa hari dengan 20 tempat adalah bagaimana hubungan manusia dengan sekitarnya, manusia dengan manusia ini harus terjalin secara harmonis. Selain memang hubungan dengan Sang Maha Pencipta sebagai pencipta alam semesta ini menjadi kunci bahwa mohon maaf, kami tidak menyembah tempat, tetapi kami menghargai tempat. Karena bagaimanapun alam ini sebetulnya mereka bernafas, pohon bernafas, tentu kita harus menghargai ciptaan yang maha kuasa lainnya. Itu seperti itu. 23 tempat itu panjang, ada yang jalan kaki, kecuali yang jauh saat ini mungkin dibantu dengan kendaraan, setelah itu jalan kaki. Dan juga para pemangku adat itu melakukan beberapa persyaratan, biasanya berpuasa dan lain-lain. Sekitar 5 hari.
This deeply philosophical ritual of cutting dreadlock is really long. It begins with visiting 20 sacred places. The elders and the community figures involved will visit the places deemed sacred for their impact towards life. It is like preserving the environment. For instance, we visit a sacred water spring. We surveyed the spring and appreciate the trees around it. In there, we could see how a good water spring can bring good effect to lives, including us human beings. 5 days before ritual, the elders did the prihatin during the visit. The night before the ritual, the dreadlock children will be gathered in a small banquet as a gratitude that the children had arrived at the place of an elder. In the morning, the children will be paraded on a carriage across the village. and the parade is followed by art performances. Meanwhile, the tourists can stay across the Dieng Kulon Village area to Suharto Witlam or Dharmasala, because in there, the dreadlock children will undergo a purification ritual. During the previous visits, elders collected water for purification. This purification aims to strip away wickedness from the children. Then, after the purification, the children will be paraded again to Arjuna Temple. In the temple, they will cut the dreadlock of the children one by one. The first cut will be done by the elders, and after that, others can also cut the dreadlock under the guidance of the elders. After that, there will be another gratitude banquet called Ngalah Berkah. Visitors can join the event. Since we prepared a banquet for all people to eat together, as a gratitude to the god for the dreadlock cutting ritual had been done. But the last ritual will be the flowing the dreadlocks.
Anak-anak gimbal. Ini salah satu filosofi sebetulnya. Apapun ketika ada kegiatan yang bertujuan baik, itu alangkah baiknya itu semua dibersihkan. Maka diharapkan juga memakai pakaian yang baik, pakaian yang bagus. Itu yang kita bersyukur sudah kita fasilitasi biasanya. Yang nanti,
hair is a crown for a human, especially woman. It may coincide with the fact that most Bajang children in Dieng are female. The Bajang children who have dreadlocks are mostly 2 to 12 years old. For instance, Alita from Wonosobo. Since 2 years old, she had asked the dreadlocks to be cut in Dieng village. She also asked 2 goats.
Ini si Alita sendiri yang minta dari usia 2 tahun.
Alita herself wanted the dreadlocks cutting in Dieng since she was 2 years old. She also wished for 2 goats.
Minta kambing. Dipotong di mana di Dieng?
Permintaannya upama telur puyuh 1.
Wishes are specific, such as 1 quail egg. The egg must be 1 and must be from quail. If not fulfilled, the dreadlock will return and condition will worsen.
Like other traditions in Indonesia, this ritual has detailed preparation with full philosophical meaning. For instance, in the parade to Arjuna Temple where the dreadlocks will be cut, there was a cart full of Bajang children's wishes. There was also another cart with 4 colored tumpang. Tumpang is a cone-shaped rice dish with side dishes of vegetables and meat.
Jadi kalau apa tumpang robjong itu bahwa rambut gimbal itu kan seperti padi contoh itu. Nah, jadi ada gembel padi, ada rambut gimbal.
So, tumpang rojong means that the dreadlock is like rice. There's dreadlock that is like rice. Another is like sheep wool. Meanwhile, various colors also have meanings. Green means fertility for agriculture or trade. White means purity, that we live our life honestly without doing bad things. Those are the main symbols.
Bahwa kita hidup di dunia ini kan harus menjalankan yang apa adanya. Jalan yang lurus, tidak usah nikang-nikung, kayak gitu. Jadi itu termasuk simbol yang paling utama. Kalau
itu simbol paling
itu yang berwarna.